I'd like to read three portions from the Word of God tonight. And the first one is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. We'll begin reading at verse number 22. Luke 13 and 22. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Lord, are there few that be saved? Over to chapter 18. And verse 18, here's a young man that's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a certain ruler, this young man, asked him, the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what he asked him, saying, Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. He starts to list the different commandments. We could get all of these commandments that are listed here if we would turn back to Exodus chapter 20, what is known as the Ten Commandments. He lists some of them. And then he says, the youth says, and he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all at the house that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they heard it and said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The question asked in verse number 26, who then can be saved? Finally, in Acts chapter 16, a well-known portion of the Word of God, Acts 16, verse number, we'll break into this story at verse number 22. This is a story of two preachers of the gospel that went to a town called Philippi. And as they were preaching there, they stirred up the people, and the people got banded together, and they, what we call in our day, they petitioned the courts to arrest these men. So we'll break into the verse that this story, Paul and Silas were the two preachers. In verse number 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, these two preachers, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I want to think of this question we have read in verse number 31. Verse number 30. This jailer, what must I do to be saved? Trust that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his word tonight. You maybe have come to this meeting And maybe you have heard this phrase before, maybe someone you know, maybe someone in your family, and you've heard them say this to you, "I've gotten saved. I've gotten saved." And you may just be wondering, what is this, what is getting saved all about? Just what is this business of getting saved? What about, is there anything to it? What happened? What do they mean by getting saved? What, is there some physical salvation from something, or is it, and maybe just all these thoughts are going through your mind. What does it mean? Who gets saved? How do a person get saved? What can I do to get saved? And I have read a three portion from the Word of God, and I'd like to think of them simply tonight. First of all, we have read in Luke chapter 13. I've written over that one, curiosity. Maybe there's someone that has come into this building tonight, and you simply, your extent of your interest in coming to this meeting, you're simply curious. You want to find out what's happened. Maybe there's someone you have known that has gotten saved, and you're just a little bit curious. You want to find out about it. You want to find out just what it's all about. And you're curious. And here's a man, we have a question that's asked, "Who are the Lord?" he says. "Lord, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved?" Secondly, I want to think of a man, and here I've written over this one, not curiosity, but now it's a little bit deeper, and a man, he's now become concerned. And after he hears the criteria that God has set, after he hears of God's standard, after set before him has been the Ten Commandments, God's supreme standard that none of us can keep, in despair almost, he says, "Lord, who then?" Puts his hands up almost, "Who then can be saved? Is it possible for anyone to be saved?" And I want to think there's a man that's concerned. And finally, I want to think of a man that's convicted. He's convicted. And there he is when he feels his need, when he feels that pressing out upon him, his need before God, he says these to these two preachers, "What must I do to be saved?" I want to think simply of these three verses. First of all, in Luke chapter 13, a question is asked to the Savior, "Are there few that be saved?" My friend, you may have come to this meeting with just a mere curiosity about salvation, about the gospel, about this Bible that we hold in our hands. You may just be curious and wondering, "Well, who is this for?" It may only be a religion to you. Maybe you have come to this building and this idea of getting saved and the idea of the people who read their Bibles and claim that they are going to heaven and claim that they are saved from hell and claim that their sin has been washed away. You say to that person, "I'm curious. I want to find out. And are there few that be saved? Who then can be saved? What must I do to be saved?" Friend, is that your measure of concern tonight? Is that your measure of interest? Have you come to this place and saying, "Are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved?" My friend, I'd like to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ has said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate. There are two roads and there are two destinies." The Lord Jesus Christ read them, or maybe refer to them, back in Luke chapter 13. After this question is asked to the Savior, he says to them, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in, and shall not be able." In the parallel passage to this, in Matthew's Gospel, we find him, as he answers this question, he says and speaks to them of two roads and two destinies. One of these roads is a wide road. One's a narrow road. The wide road is leading to hell. The narrow road, it leads to heaven. And as this question's asked to the Savior, and maybe you're concerned, maybe you're curious tonight, are there few that be saved? Who is this salvation really for? Can it be for me? These people are my friends or my family that have gotten saved. Are there many of these people? Are there only a few of these people? What is it all about? My friend, the Savior says to that person who asked out of curiosity tonight, "Are there few that be saved?" He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. He says to that person, make sure you get on that narrow road. For that's the only way to heaven. This term of getting saved, it's the only way we can know our sins forgiven and a home in heaven. It's the only way and the only basis upon which, at the end of life's journey, that God can welcome you home. My friend, there's only two destinies. There's only two roads. There's no middle path. There is a road to heaven, and there is a road to hell. And that road to heaven, the Savior has said himself, it's a narrow one. It tells us that there are few. There are only a few going in at this gate. There's only a few going off at this exit, to use that term. My friend, if you're traveling down on life's highway, if you're hurtling along the freeway of life, my friend, there are two exits. There are two roads. And my friend, there are only a few exiting off to go to heaven. And my friend, the hundreds, the thousands, the millions, they're taking the exit for the wide road. And that road is thronged. That road is jammed with traffic. My friend, and they're all heading to hell. It's a wide road. And my friend, you are maybe asking tonight, maybe you're coming to a point in your life when you've heard of others around you and they're starting to make the exit and they're starting to make the choice. And you're saying, what should I do? Are there few that be saved? Are there few that are going off at that exit? Are there only a few that are going to get to heaven? My friend, I would urge you tonight, maybe you're curious, maybe you've come to this building just with a big question mark about it. Maybe that's all the measure of concern you have about your soul. I want to find out what these others have got. I want to find out what someone else has. What do they have that I don't have? My friend, they have eternal life. And the Savior said, oh, strive to enter into that straight gate. There's only a few that are going off. There's only a few that have become concerned. There's only a few that have gotten right down to and said, you know, I'm not here for a very long time. I'm only here for a short time. And I have to do something about this. I'm going to meet an end someday, and I want to be sure I'm getting to heaven. And my friend, sadly tonight, sadly, in this world of ours, there's only a few that are asking that question. There are very few that are stopping and being wise and considering and saying to themselves, you know, I'm not here for a very long time, but I want to be sure of this one thing, that when I breathe my last, when I come to the end of it all, I want to be sure of a home in heaven. My friend, do you want that tonight? You've come to this building maybe curious, asking this question, are there few that be saved? What is this all about? What is the Bible and this salvation all about? Are there few of them? My friend, I would urge you tonight, oh, that that curiosity might be deepened, that that curiosity might come to the point where you would say, I want to get to the straight gate. I want to get to the narrow road. I want to exit off and be sure of home, my home in heaven. My friend, if we could only urge you to get saved. Get saved. Oh, friend, it's the most important. It's the most important thing one can know in this life. Nothing else really matters. Nothing else really counts. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved? As I look into the faces of some here tonight, I know they're saved. How do I know that? My friend, they have told me. They have told me that they have had that experience in their life when they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how simple it is. That's how you can be saved tonight. My friend, time is very short. Time is very short. The Bible tells us of an accepted time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what does it say? Behold, now is the day of salvation. Or in other words, behold, now is the day to get saved. an accepted time. My friend, we know of a brief time. In James chapter 4 says, what is your life? What is your life? It's like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanishes away. My friend, a brief time. We also could read in Acts chapter 23, we read there of a convenient time. My friend, for getting saved. Oh friend, there are people that are putting it off. While the Bible says an accepted time, it also reminds us that our time upon this life is brief. It's only a short period of time we have to get saved. My friend, an accepted time that will soon end. An accepted time that will soon pass, a brief time that will soon end, and a convenient time that will never come. My friend, is that you tonight? My friend, you've heard about getting saved and you're putting it off. You're procrastinating and saying, oh, I'm like the one in Acts 23. And there he says, when he's faced with getting saved and he's faced with these eternal matters, what does he say? Go your way. Just go your way. Leave me alone. Just you take your religion and you can keep it for yourself, but just keep away from me. Don't tell me about your religion. Don't try to convert me. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. My friend, a convenient time that never comes. A convenient time that never comes. The ABCs of time. An accepted time, my friend, that will soon pass. Behold, now is the accepted time. A brief time that will soon end. Your life is like a vapor appears for a little time or a brief time, then vanishes away. But my friend, a convenient time that will never come. Is that your position tonight? Oh, friend, you're saying, when I have a convenient time, when it's okay for me, I'll lock your door then. I'll rattle your cage then. Until then, you just stay in your little world. You keep your little Bible and you keep reading. And you just keep on with it. And you keep going to church. And you keep thumping your Bible. And my friend, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you then. My friend, let me tell you, that convenient time never comes. My friend, if you're going to get saved, you're going to make one almighty effort to get onto that narrow road. My friend, are you curious tonight about it? Are there few that be saved? I have to go to the next one. In Luke chapter 18, there's a man that comes to the Savior. And what does he say? After he says to the Savior, he asks him about eternal life. He asks him about knowing his sins forgiven and knowing of that he first beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's going to have eternal life. The Savior looks to that one and he says, first of all, he tells them there is none good. My friend, that's our message that we have to tell you tonight. If you're thinking about getting saved, my friend, and your question is, who then can be saved? We have to tell you, the person that makes an exit for the narrow road, the person that starts for heaven and home, my friend, they realize this one thing, they realize their need. They realize they need salvation. My friend, the person that's going to get saved is the person that realizes they need saved. Is the person that realizes that they need the life belt thrown to them. They need someone to help them. They can't help themselves. And this one says, he realizes, he's told by the Savior that there is none good. The Savior then starts to tell his standard. He starts to state the standard of God, and he starts to repeat some of the Ten Commandments. And my friend, you could look back to Exodus chapter 20, from whence these quotes were taken. And you could look back to Exodus 20, and we could read down all 10 of these commandments. And what is it? It's God's standard. It's God's standard. And then here's a man that's come to the Savior. And now it's just not curiosity. He's concerned. And he's come and he said, you know, I'm thinking about getting saved. And he starts to tell the Savior. He says, you know, what should I do? What should I be doing? How can I know that I can have eternal life? And the Savior starts to tell him. He starts to read the Ten Commandments. And what does it do?
He's not telling them these Ten Commandments so that he can keep them to get saved. My friend, we can't keep them. My friend, he's telling them these Ten Commandments to show them his need. My friend, if we were to read down these Ten Commandments tonight, which we will not take time to do, my friend, it would only show us how far we have fallen short. If we were to look to Romans chapter 3 tonight, we could read an account there. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We could read down that list of people, and finally it sums it all up. In verse 23 of Romans 3, finally after telling and detailing the different kinds of sins that mankind commit, it finally sums it up and with one blanket statement. And envelops all of mankind. He says this, Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. And here's this young man, of Luke 18, he hears this message. This young man is concerned, and it causes him great concern. Why? Because all of a sudden he realizes, how is he going to get saved? And after he hears God's standard, and after he hears the standard of God, and how far that mankind have fallen short, and all about our sin, he says, almost with amazement, almost incredulously, he says, Who then can be saved? Is it possible for someone to be saved? And my friend, you may be concerned tonight. You maybe have heard someone in your families tell you, I've gotten saved. And you just say, just hold on a minute. Who then can be saved? How can that person know for sure they're saved? When we see God's standard, when we see what God requires, who can be saved? How can we be sure of that? Is it possible for someone to know? Is it possible for someone to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, while they are living on this life, that they are saved? Do you wonder that, my friend? Do you wonder about that? Do you wonder about someone getting saved? Do you wonder about someone this side of heaven or this side of eternity, you might say, before they die? Is it possible for someone to know for sure that they are saved? To know for sure that they're going to heaven, to know for sure that hell has been removed from them, to know for sure that their sins have been washed away? Is it possible for someone to know that? Look at God's standard. This man, he asks in amazement, this young man asks in wonder, after he hears the standard of God stated, he says, who then can be saved? And my friend, you may be asking that tonight. You may be asking about that family member. How can that person know they are saved? How then can they be sure that they are saved? My friend, God's standard is high. God's standard has been decreed, and men have fallen short. And my friend, that includes you. My friend, we are all sinners. Everyone in this room tonight. And while I am pointing a finger at you, there's three pointing back at myself. I'm not up here saying that I'm better than anyone else. I am a sinner, number one. And my friend, but everyone in this room in Victoria Drive Gospel Hall, I can tell you, my friend, faithfully, that you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You may not like to hear that. You may say, who do you think you are? Where do you get off telling me I'm a sinner? My friend, I only have to look at the Word of God. We're all sinners. And my friend, you may ask incredulously tonight, like this young man of Luke 18, who then can be saved? Friend, I want to think of the last portion. Now it's not a mere curiosity. Now, my friend, it's not just a measure of concern, although it's a bit deepened. All this interest, he was curious at first. Now we've come to one who is concerned, but now, my friend, in Acts 16, here we have a man, and he realizes after an earthquake literally shakes his life, what happens? He's convicted. And now he's not now worried about the few that are getting saved. He's not now just curious and wondering, just what's the ratio? Tell me, preachers, what is the ratio of those that come to your meetings? These two preachers in Philippi, tell me, preachers, how many are coming to your meetings? How many of the ones that are coming are getting saved? Are there few in your crowd that's getting saved? My friend, this wasn't a man talking about the weather. This wasn't a man talking about numbers. This wasn't a man with his calculator crunching numbers and wondering the percentage of people that are getting saved. And my friend, if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to get a lot further than Luke 13. You're not just going to wonder about the few getting saved. It's more than a mere curiosity. You may have come to this building wonder about those around you getting saved and saying, are there few that are getting saved? My friend, now you're coming and you're not wondering just who then can be saved. But my friend, here's a man brought to the very point where he realizes above all of the things in this world, he wants to be saved. And he comes under deep conviction of sin, not now wondering about the few, not wondering now about the who that can be saved. But now he says, what must I do to be saved? Oh, my friend, if there was one tonight that was convicted of their sin, realizing their need before God, really realizing their sinnership before an almighty and holy God, and saying, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. Oh, my, maybe my Christian, maybe there's a child of a believing parents here tonight. Maybe your parents were along here at the Victoria Drive Hall, and maybe they've been attending this hall for many, many years before you were even born. And my friend, maybe there's a person like that in the meeting tonight, and you're saying, now I know about all my past, but I realize I'm a sinner, and now I'm wondering what I must do to be saved. What must I personally do to be saved? My friend, is there someone there tonight like that? Oh, is there someone here tonight who's wondering above all else in this world that this world can offer you? My friend, is there one that wants to get saved? Is there one that wants to know heaven and home at the end of the journey? Is there one that wants to be sure of that place called hell will never be their portion? Is there one that's wanting their sin to be removed from them? Is there one tonight that's wanting God to be able to say about that person that their sins and their iniquities he will remember no more? My friend, tonight is the one that's asking with a true, honest heart. Is that you tonight? My friend, will you not ask that question? What must I do to be saved? My friend, if there's someone that's got to that point, we can point them to Calvary and we can say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, my friend, here's the answer to mankind's question. Who can be saved? Are there few that be saved? My friend, strive to enter in is the answer. Who then can be saved? My friend, it may seem an impossible thing because of God's standard, but there is one way. My friend, thank God there is one answer to this question tonight. Oh, what may seem to be impossible, what may seem like something that could never happen. When this Philippian jailer, this man that asked the question, out of deep conviction, says, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? They could tell him of another. These two preachers, they could tell him their message. They could say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My friend, have you heard of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever heard of the Savior? Have you heard of one who died at the cross of Calvary? Friend, that's the only way God can welcome the sinner home. It's the only way he can bring them in. It's because of one who died upon the cross. One who died and hung and suffered there was nailed to a cross. One who cried, it is finished. One who completed the work. And because of that completed work, because Christ has suffered for the sinner, Christ suffered for you. Christ suffered for you. Galatians 2, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what happened at Calvary. My friend, that's for you tonight. You can have that. You, by simply accepting that for yourself, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. My friend of the cross, he did that. His tongue suffered there. He cried the words, it is finished. And my friend, the substitution for your sins was finished upon the cross of Calvary. And now, here these two preachers are telling this man. And my friend, we can tell the same to anyone tonight who asks out of an honest heart, what must I do to be saved? We can point away to a finished work at the cross of Calvary, what God has been well pleased in, and there point you out to a substitute. What can we say? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.